Friends, will you pray with me? Oh God, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Member of the church, Hillary Mull, is engaged in a one-woman renovation project. She's not renovating her home, although I trust she could. She is renovating her vocabulary and the vocabularies of the people around her. Hillary believes that the words that we say mean things, that communication is both a gift and a responsibility, and she is taking her vocabulary down to the studs. Hillary is looking for the vestiges of sexism, racism, colonization, and homophobia. And when she finds those vestiges, she's ripping them out. This summer, Hillary is focused on idioms, metaphorical turns of phrase that we use as figurative shorthand, the way that on the ball means doing a good job, or missed the boat means late. Some idioms are fine, but some of them are troubling. They require questions and self-reflection. Do I have integrity if I say I value non-violence and I consistently say kill two birds with one stone? Am I in alignment with my value for reconciliation with Indigenous peoples if, when I feel scared and I want my community's support, I say, let's circle the wagons? For me, the answer is no. And if I want my words to align with my values, I need to take my vocabulary down to the studs and rip those idioms out. I need to say, feed two birds with one scone when I want to be efficient. And I need to say, I feel scared, and I would like my community's support when that is what I need. I need to do this because words mean things. And I want my behavior to align with my values. And so when Hillary talks with me about her idiom renovation project, I listen. And then I do some self-reflection, because it is both gift and responsibility that we are entrusted with the capacity to communicate. Because of this gift and responsibility, I wish there were a way for Hillary to have a one-on-one with Jesus, because our passage today troubles me. It troubles me because it makes it seem like Jesus is not troubled by slavery. From this passage, from this story, it makes it seem like Jesus, good news to the poor, release to the captives, freedom to the oppressed, Jesus, is not troubled by the institution of slavery. At the very least, it makes it seem like his metaphors aren't. The easiest way to interpret our passage today is to read it and not at all question the practice of enslaving humans. If you do that, it's pretty straightforward. Jesus is in the middle of a series of teachings. He's just told his disciples a different parable about slaves and masters to highlight the need for readiness for the return of the Son of Man. And the disciples ask if his teachings are for them or for all. And Jesus responds with this parable. Who is the faithful one whom his master puts in charge of his slaves in his absence? The slave at work when he returns, or the slave who beats the other slaves and gets drunk? Jesus says the slave at work will be rewarded, and the slave who knows he should be working but does not work and treats others badly will be cut into pieces. Because from everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. The most straightforward interpretation of this parable is that the disciples are the manager slaves, and because they are entrusted with that responsibility, they must always be ready for the return of the Son of Man, or they will be subject to violence. That because the disciples know better, They must do better. The application to our own lives, then, is that we, people who have access to Jesus, access to these stories, we too know better, and so we too must do better. From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. Nowhere in that interpretation do we question whether or not it's okay for people to enslave other people. Nothing about that parable or the other six slave master parables in the Gospel of Luke encourages us to question that metaphor, to take it down to its studs and ask if it is in alignment between, if there is an alignment between Jesus' values and behavior and Jesus' stories. And that's troubling. If you are troubled right now, that is good, because it means you care about your faith. It means we as a people have to ask what we do next. I've got some options. Option one is denial. To say what is so is not so. To say, if we might extend the home renovation metaphor, that the crack that you see in the wall is not a crack at all. It is a whimsical crinkle. What is so is not so. The record that we have of Jesus is not what Jesus said at all. This option invites you to go on a hunt for historical Jesus by saying that the seven sayings in Luke are not from Jesus, but from the author of Luke. You then turn to the oldest gospel, the Gospel of Mark, and there you will find only two slave stories and Mark 10:4. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. And then you can say, ha-ha, I really found something. And you can go to the Gospel of Thomas and find only three stories. And if you ignore all of the language about slavery in John and the six stories in Matthew, then you can maybe build an argument for Jesus thinking that we should be slaves to one another. But you can't, with integrity, build an argument that Jesus doesn't rely on master-slave metaphors for understanding the world. So denial, a search for historical Jesus saying what is so is not so, turns out to be insufficient. If you are still troubled, and you should still be troubled, you can try option two, covering it up. You can do what many Christians have done, wallpaper right over that crack. You can translate the Greek word doulos as not as slave, but as servant. And you can leave this story out of the lectionary. And you can hope that no one cracks open a Bible or learns ancient Greek. This option will work as long as no one cracks open a Bible or learns ancient Greek. Then we're back to listing all the times that Jesus does it, and it gets troubling again. So what do we do? We are people of the book. We are stuck with words. Words are all we have of Jesus' ministry. These stories are all we have of the rabbi who turned the whole world upside down by preaching and living good news to the poor, release to the captives, and freedom to the oppressed. So what do we do? I say we stay troubled. We stay troubled and give thanks to God for Acts 10, and give thanks to God for Hillary Mull. We stay troubled and we give thanks to God for Acts 10, specifically Acts 10, verses 34 to 48, when the Holy Spirit falls on all who hear the word. Not just Jewish people from all nations, as it does in Acts 2, but all who hear the word. All who hear the word are and believe are entrusted with the Holy Spirit and with the gift and the responsibility of receiving and sharing the gospel, preaching and living good news to the poor, release to the captives, and freedom to the oppressed. After that, thanks to God, we all have access to the Holy Spirit, to the sacred nudge which says, stay troubled, which says perhaps those slave stories weren't troubling in the time and the context in which they were told, but they're troubling now, and they're troubling you. Good. Stay troubled. That is holy trouble. Rip up that wallpaper. Dig into that crack. Ask what it means and why it troubles you. And settle for nothing less than taking your faith down to its studs. Stay troubled. Stay troubled and give thanks to God for Hilary Mull. Hilary Mull listening to a still speaking God who whispers to her that our words have meaning, that our faith requires us to take our words seriously, to take our stories seriously, and live lives alert for the dehumanizing sins of racism, sexism, colonization, and homophobia, and that everywhere we find them, starting with ourselves, we must root them out. The Spirit whispers that because we know better, we must do better. We must let the Holy Spirit keep troubling us. We must listen to the disciples who are staying alert. If we want to live lives that proclaim good news to the poor, release to the captives, and freedom to the oppressed, we must always be willing to engage in renovations, to take our faith down to its studs, to stay troubled and to learn more and then to do better. Our God asks nothing less of us. Everyone to whom much has been given, much will be acquired. Thanks be to God. Amen.